This is Mae Brussel, the second half of a one-hour program called World Watchers, and it is broadcast number 731. The San Francisco Chronicle yesterday had a list of about 30 of the top stories of the year, and they wanted the readers to select five of the from the list that they thought were the most important news items, and they'd publish the first of the year. And among the choice was the exhumation of the remains of the late Joseph Mengele. This is the way disinformation and lies get reinforced into the readers, suggesting that Mengele is dead, where there is a lot of controversy and evidence that Joseph Mengele is not dead. The official story is that he is dead, but there is yet to be physical evidence and proof that he is. The London Times, November the 3rd, had a story on police brutality persists in Brazil. The vice president, head of the military dictatorship police force, Jose Sarney, became president when the president-elect, Mr. Tancredo Neves, was literally killed and poisoned, or even the newspaper said shot, just the night before he was to be sworn in as the first democratically elected president in 22 years. Sarney has signed a convention for the United Nations committing his country to eradicate torture at this time. However, the London Times said the torture of political prisoners was not ended at the time the military government stopped. There's still mistreatment of prisoners. Last month alone, there were complaints against the police in five state capitals. A human rights commission set up in São Paulo diocese covered the territory of Brazil's largest city. In that city are now handling 60 cases of police violence against prisoners. In 40 cases, the prisoners died. In the remainder, they were tortured, illegally held and imprisoned. Torture has been reassured or reconfirmed by tape recordings they made of people strung up on what they call the parrot's perch by their hands and legs and submitted to electric shock. According to the London Times, a recent case in São Paulo, 11 guards were removed after beating to death a 43-year-old farm worker who was wrongly suspected. São Paulo is the area Romeo Tuma, the chief of police who worked with the top Nazis, Gustav Wagner and Joseph Mengele, etc., and Tommaso Pusetta of the Mafia, the Palermo drugs and gun running, links to the Vatican and the Masonic Lodge. Romeo Tuma is the police chief in São Paulo, and there was a report by a São Paulo lawyer that the police have always beaten suspects in Brazil. They use physical pressure. They don't investigate crimes. They get confessions by beating. They have sophisticated methods. They burn with cigarettes and electric shock. And the London Times says one method is drowning. Remember that Mr. and Mrs. Boser took a man who allegedly drowned in, up to his waist in water and was taken to the beach where the man had a beard. Mengele didn't have a beard. The original report was a 54-year-old person. They could photograph the width of the head or maybe had a space between his teeth and send it to Bonn, Germany, where it's kept by the CIA and the officials in case they need it later. Drowning was the way that they said Mengele died in February of 79, and even Mrs. Bossert said that she faked a cry of grief and forbid them to open the coffin because it would hurt her too much for officials to open the coffin. So London Times is talking about that. And I did mention, I believe for you, the report of some people that have stated that Simon Wiesenthal inadvertently gave out wrong information about Joseph Mengele and told people that he was living in Paraguay when he was living in Brazil. And then, of course, later when he was in Paraguay, Wiesenthal wasn't pushing too hard to find Joseph Mengele. Now, one important murder that I'm not going to touch, I'm just going to mention right now, is the murder of Nicholas Deke, because it has relationships to multi-million dollar narcotics traffic in South America, but it has relations to the OSS, the CIA. He's a Hungarian who came to this country. Nicholas L. Deke, 80 years old. He was the head of a large firm in New York City that just was recently identified as the link to major narcotic syndicate, and the narcotic syndicate goes down to South America. It was described in 1981 federal report as the largest cocaine trafficker in America. And as I say, those links, his outlets were in the United States and South America, and being in the OSS and the CIA, and he was part of the Lockheed scandal, paying off people for the intelligence community through the Lockheed scandals, He had to have a finger in the Bolivia cocaine, the Klaus Barbie, the Joseph Mengele, the Paraguay, the Brazilian, Tomasa Busetti. He had to have a finger in all of these activities, and he's linked to banks, his banks in Zurich and Vienna and Cayman Islands, Catskills in New York, and so forth. I'm not going to do much on him now, but I will very shortly. The important thing is that a woman named Lois Lang is the woman who killed him. She's the daughter of a university president. She was an outstanding student and well-known. She taught at the University of California in Santa Barbara. She was very good at tennis and athletics. And one day, all of her clothing and effects were on the beach, and she disappeared. And when she reappeared, there was this total mind control job, and she was a walking zombie. But I have one article, the newspaper account from the Oregonian, that she walked around with $800 and $900 at a time and an unlimited ticket for traveling on Greyhound buses. This is similar to John Hinckley, who traveled around the country and then ended up with his picture in front of the White House and then in front of the Hilton Hotel where he shot the president, not separated from Alexander Haig and the same P2 Masonic Lodge group that connect to Nicholas Deak in South America. And Mark David Chapman did a lot of not only Greyhound, but trip around the world and ocean traveling and plane traveling before he ended up in front of the Dakota apartment where he shot John Lennon. Lois Lang is accused of killing Mr. Deak and his secretary. It is a operation that involves the CIA, Lockheed, OSS, going back to William Casey's pal, works closely with Casey, was acknowledged by Casey in speeches just last year, and wiping out of a man who knows the secrets, the money secrets in South America, the spy secrets, the Nazi secrets. He's from Hungary. The Stammers, who housed Mengele, the first people, coincidentally, were from Hungary. And so I'll go back to his murder later, but I will run out of time before I even start the spy story. One final thing before the spy story is the Houston Post, November 17th, had a story on the Nazi files that are stored in West Berlin. There's 30 million records kept in one house, 11 million members of the Nazi Party. Many of them alive today are kept and recorded so they know who are the good guys and bad guys and can use them for jobs or trust later, I suppose. The Berlin Documentation Center is controlled, allegedly, and how can you believe that if it's in Berlin, by American authorities. If the Americans are like William Donovan and William Casey and Alan Dulles, who worked with Reinhard Gehlen and the top in Nazi intelligence, what difference if they're Americans? And they are the only place that has files on Nazi Joseph Mengele that were used to identify his body in Brazil. So it's the only place that would have the picture of a space between a tooth, no actual dental records, no medical records, or a broad head. So the Bosards could dunk any guy, 50 to 70 years old, and dip him in the waters there and send him on his way to the further heavens and send those broad head pictures to Germany, and they do, in fact, match the miracle of miracles, the bunch of bones that were exhumed in São Paulo, Brazil, in June of this year. Now, to go on to the spy story, it is late, and as I say, that's a long introduction, but it has to be done because I want to show that the Mengele story, as much as possible, is far from over. Now, several weeks ago, on broadcast 729, I talked about Ernest Kaiser, a German who worked with the Wehrmacht, who came to the United States, worked with our country, brought in Edwin Wilson. He worked for the National Security Council. He worked for Henry Kissinger, Task Force 157. He worked for the FBI and the CIA and Navy intelligence, 21 intelligence groups as part of also an assassination team. He delivered the men who were tried to kill William Taub at the time of Watergate. And I was talking about Ernest Kaiser. If you don't have that broadcast, these tapes are available. If you can't afford the tapes, send a self-addressed stamped envelope and tell me inside of it that you want the information on Kaiser. You should get these sheets every week because these cases build up. And I was talking about his relationship to Bonn, Germany. And I said he was in Bonn in February of 85 with, at the same time, that Manfred Roeder was making connections of violence and the Aryan nations, and he's an attorney who would be knowledgeable about the Mengele case. And I cited Joachim Fiebelkorn, a man who said he was living with Joseph Mengele in Paraguay and rather Ricardo Riefenstahl was the one living with Mengele, and Fiebelkorn was part of the P2 Nazi connections in South America, the drug connections, the drug and narcotics. So that in Germany, when Kaiser was there, at the same time, there was Manfred Roeder, who's been arrested, Joachim Fiebelkorn, and Ricardo Riefenstahl, all connected to the Barbie Mengele narcotic gun running violence set up by Stefano Della Calle and our CIA with Otto Skorzeny. And this network has been pierced. The links of this chain are falling apart at the present time. Now, the Tampa Tribune, the article I cited, had this direct quotation, and I'll give it to you again. I had it on the air. Ernest Kaiser said to this person who had given him $100,000 to leave the United States, "I'll get it back for you." He said, "As for the Mengele search, that was the real McCoy," Kaiser said. "If we want to talk about Mengele, I'll say I had several meetings with the Israelis in Bonn." The Israelis in Bonn, Germany. And the Israeli he's talking about now is Rafael Itan, who worked with Jonathan Pollard of United States Navy Intelligence. "I had several meetings with the Israelis in Bonn and talked about the possibility of going to Paraguay." This is in February of 79. It was revealed in May of 79 in a court trial. "And looking for him, I had several other leads, like maybe 1,000 others, but I had them." And so in order to make some money, Ernest Kaiser could go for that Mengele reward, and he had leads, and he was working in Bonn, Germany, with people, with the Israelis in Bonn, Germany. Now, the Washington Post this past week, November the 30th, has a story, "Legendary Israeli Spy is Key Figure. Former terrorism advisor helped abduct Adolf Eichmann. Rafael Itan, whose name has surfaced as a key figure in the case of Jonathan J. Pollard, the American naval analyst accused of selling secrets to Israel, is a legendary figure. He spent his career in intelligence. He was an advisor on terrorism to Menachem Begin. He's a close ally of Ariel Sharon. They call him Rafi the Stinker. He's done covert operations, including his role in the abduction in 1960 of Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann in Buenos Aires. He repeatedly was the member of the Israeli, kidnap team who put the former Nazi to sleep and bundled him away." Now, the story has always been, and Wiesenthal came in on the cloaks of what this particular person did. He's the man, not Wiesenthal, that was able to bring Eichmann to trial. They made a deal that the Jews would not go after the other Nazis after Mengele, and the only reason Mengele surfaced from that time period in 1960 to February 1985 was that these men were in jail in Germany talking about Mengele and spilling the beans that he was in fact alive and they knew where he was. The Washington Post says, "In March of 76, Itan left the labor movement with Sharon. He went into private business, set up a fishing enterprise in the Sinai, occupied by Israel. He established a business in France and retained his connections with the Mossad. In 1978, he was named by Begin as an advisor on terrorism. He had close association with the right-wing politicians. He was a former member of the Irgun, like Begin, and that's the Jewish Nationalist Underground. Itan, according to the Washington Post, participated in February of this year in a panel that heard testimony against Nazi war criminal Joseph Mengele before the evidence that Mengele was dead in Brazil and the body was discovered." Now, as I say, Mr. Ricardo Riefenstahl and Fiebelkorn and Karl-Heinz Hoffmann and Manfred Roeder, all in jail in Germany with links to our past relationship to these Nazis, were talking in the jail. And at that point, this representative of Israel goes over, Rafael Itan goes over to Bonn, where he meets with Ernest Kaiser, who has said that he was in fact with him. And then Kaiser says, I will bring in Joseph Mengele to the fellow who gave him the money to escape. Now, in this case where Kaiser had brought in Edwin Wilson, he was shot in the shoulder before he could bring in Robert Fesco. It could be that the Israeli government couldn't made a deal not to bring in Mengele, but they would let Kaiser bring him in. And in this case, he would go to the United States and not to Israel for a trial. Or I don't know what the arrangement would possibly be. Now, Jonathan J. Pollard, the spy we're talking about, worked for the Navy Counterterrorism Group. He said he gave information to Pakistan. That's being investigated. Zia is not considered bad for having a spy from the United States give him information. This has been quieted. The whole emphasis in this case is on Israel. Now, there is a lot of news centering on Israel for whatever reason. I don't want to be paranoid about it. You can come to your own conclusions. But a lot of Jews that have worked in the spy system, in the intelligence, linked to various items that I've had on the news for the years, are being singled out or are, like in the case of Roy Cohn, he's dying of AIDS. Admiral Moore was the head of the Liberty ship, and he's now coming out and telling how the Israelis bombed it purposely for whatever reason he's servicing now, and he's also part of Western Goals with Edward Teller and the late Larry McDonald, Roy Cohn, and that list of who's who's. Wilbur Evelyn, who is extremely right-wing and anti-Semitic, who wrote Ropes of Sand, who was a CIA, very important CIA agent in Syria, is loving the Pollard story and the Israeli connections, the fact that Israel was caught spying. Arnold de Borchgrave is carrying a lot of stories. He works for Reverend Moon and is the master of disinformation, along with Michael Ledeen and Claire Sterling and Paul Hensa and the team in Washington that created that cockamania story about Ajah working with the KGB. De Borchgrave is carrying a lot of stories on Pollard and Israel. And Henry Crown, a Jew, one of the heads of General Dynamics, seemed to be singled out in all three newspapers that are important, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, as possibly losing his security clearance, where other people are reprimanded. And Crown, the Jew, is suggested as being some kind of a secret spy. And there seems to be a lot of narrowing down, in spite of these scandals, the Jewish element and the Israeli connections, as against any prosecution to Scott Pierce of E.F. Hutton or Mr. Donald Reagan of Merrill Lynch with their connections to these exact drug dealers, gun runners, who are messing around in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and are part of the Mengele team. I mentioned Flavio Marx, the attorney, represents Mr. and Mrs. Bossert, who dunked that poor guy in the beach in February 79. He represents Tommaso Busetta and Gustav Wagner, the late Nazi who ran Treblinka. So there's a minimum of headlines about these people. You have to seek through books and small print to get it. But the Israeli story is very big. And Mr. Pollard says he took a trip to Pakistan, and he announced in the newspaper he offered himself for arrest. And he's been saying that the money that we sent the United States to Pakistan to fight the Soviet Union has been diverted and is going to the Contras in Central America. That's one of the things he has said right off the bat as soon as he was arrested. As I say, he took on a new wife, and very often the husband and wife, such as Marianne and Paisley and her husband, she was higher up in the CIA than he was. And in the case of E. Howard Hunt and his wife, the late Mrs. Hunt, who went down in the United Airlines over Chicago, she was higher up in the CIA than he was, and there are women in the intelligence community that do have a position above the men that are working in the spy system. We don't know anything about Ann Henderson. She is the wife of only 4 months of Mr. Pollard, and he all of a sudden the roof has come crashing down on Pollard and his relationship to I-10. Now, I wonder if they want to get him off the streets because of blackmail or what he knows, just as they are isolating Mr. Ernest Kaiser over in Europe because he was talking about Mengele, and now he's wanted for more reasons in this country after he served it for a long time. Also, Mr. de Borchgrave is running a long story. I'll cite you some quotations about the cocaine parties and the habits of the Pollards, which don't have much to do with the story. The real story has to do with Jonathan's relation to Raphael Etant. Now, one of the not close friends, but associates of Jonathan Pollard was quoted in the newspapers this week. That's Jonathan Marshall. Jonathan Marshall was a friend of his at Stanford, but he had very little to offer on the story of Pollard, except the fact that he knew him as an undergrad and that Pollard talked at the time about working for Israeli intelligence. But Jonathan Marshall's name is in the New York Times, November the 26th, was mentioned six times. Mr. Marshall said this, Mr. Marshall said that. Mr. Marshall knew him as a student at Stanford. Jonathan Marshall ran a magazine called Inquiry. Then he got out a newsletter called Parapolitics. And I have to go into the background of Marshall next week. An interesting person with his relationships to Bernard Fensterwald in Washington, D.C., the attorney for Paisley and for McCord, and their relationships to this whole spy scandal. I'll do more next week on Marshall and Bernard Fensterwald. But as I said earlier, Fensterwald, the CIA man, was at our home just 8 weeks before Bonnie was killed. And there's a spy network here that has not been flushed out in California, and it goes to Washington. And then Fensterwald is close to Mary Farrell in Texas, who is very, very close to Gordon Novell, who was assigned as a babysitter to John DeLorean as soon as his case began. There's a circle, as we keep saying, David Emery and myself, what goes around comes around. I don't want to divert too much, but Jonathan Marshall was a classmate at Stanford. Now, he didn't have that much to offer in the news. There's 5,000 or more students at Stanford, about 5,000 undergrads. So he was in the news six times. His name was mentioned just in one story. So he knew him, so what? He said he worked for Israel, so what? He only told it to people he trusted, and he may have had reason to believe Jonathan Marshall, even as a student at Stanford. The Washington Post, November the 30th, had a story, legendary Israeli spy figure, and that is the one I quoted for you, about his abduction of Eichmann and also his work in February of this year. Rafael Eitan participated in the panel that heard testimony about Joseph Mengele. Now, in February of this past year, Eitan was in Bonn, Germany, discussing what to do about the Mengele problem because the dope dealers were squealing. His partner, or a partner of his, Ernest Kaiser of the Wehrmacht, was in Bonn, Germany, working with Eitan on what to do with Mengele. In February of 85, Ellis Curley from the CIA, State Department, got those images that I had on the air before of a skull of a man that he later learned in June 85 would be Mengele when he was sent down to Brazil to identify him. The drug dealers were talking. The Barbie trial has been held up for 2 years with Novell trailing him. And Curley worked with the House Select Committee on Assassinations with G. Robert Blakey, who refused to touch the Torbett document, the Argentine connections to the Kennedy assassination, the Bormann assassination. So Mr. Curley, who identified Mengele, worked closely with Robert Blakey. Blakey works with Fensterwald. Fensterwald and Mary Farrell and Gordon Novell work. The people investigating the Kennedy assassination, in quotes, the so-called investigators, are a team that have rubbed together through the Brazilian connections, through the investigation of the Kennedy assassination, and now this, according to the loner Navy intelligence spy who works with Eitan. Eitan is with Kaiser in Bonn, Germany, trying to decide what we should do about Mengele. Now, simultaneously, G. Robert Blakey of the House Select Committee on Assassinations is helping with Tommaso Busetti, with the arrest of certain Italians in 23, particularly in New York City, to the pizza connections, while they're leaving out the connections of Donald Reagan, the White House chief of staff, and Scott Pierce, the brother-in-law of the vice president of the United States. Blakey is helping the prosecution in New York City, while the very people that they're discussing, Tommaso Busetti, fled from Palermo, Italy, with the drug trials, the mass murders, and so forth. And many murders took place of judges. I gave you the figure over 75 so far. And was secure in São Paulo, Brazil, and then came back and cut some kind of a deal of testifying against the others which is what happens in these investigations. They keep the lid on the real story and cut their losses. And in G. Robert Blakey's case, the House Select Committee decided maybe the mafia killed John Kennedy. Now, just to reiterate before I go on, next week, to some more of the Pollard Israeli connections to the Bonn Mengele story that was breaking in the hoax, because it's affecting a lot of people. I just want to reiterate some of the important dates that tap to this. The Kennedy assassination was in 63. The CIA had a coup with Vernon Walters. Remember the Night of Malta in 64 in Brazil. When Robert Kennedy was killed in 68 and Nixon became president, Michael Sindona and David Kennedy, working with the Vatican, began the flood of narcotics into South America. Licio Gelli was swinging high in Italy. Roberta Calvi was head of the Banco Ambrosiano. The Masonic Lodge was working with former Nazis and the heads of Italian intelligence. The United States government, through Alexander Haig and NATO and so forth, were working with those people. And Steve Baum was flourishing in Milan to be exposed in 1982. Robert Kaiser was working with all these teams at the time. And in 1979, the CIA had memos. They knew Mengele was involved in narcotics, traffic, and cocaine, and so forth. Now, what happened in November 82? The Steve Baum arrest took place in Palermo. The Milan Mafia was exposed. In Varese, Italy, actually, was the town. The arms and guns running. And in February 85, a lot of things happened. I'll run through them quickly and leave these with you until next week. This is February 85 again. The Mengele cocaine traffic connections were oozing out by those defendants. Barbie's trial hasn't started. It's 2 years he's been in jail. Licio Gelli is down in South America with his cohorts and Reverend Moon's assistants down in South America. He fled Italy and got out. In February of 85, Tommaso Busetti was sent back to Palermo, and he would begin testifying against certain people, but keeping the top ones from being caught. By September 85, Busetta was a primary witness between two areas, the Palermo, Italy, and the United States, and this involved Robert Blakey, who covered up the past assassinations, the Permandex operations, and Busetta is traveling between the two countries, keeping the lid on what is happening. Michael Sindona of the Vatican, the man who was the grand master of planning investments with the mafia and the mob, he's in Italy to stand trial there, so goodness knows what he'll say. And Licio Gelli has fled, as I say, to South America. And with Manfred Roeder, Ricardo Riefenstahl, Joachim Fiebelkorn, and Karl-Heinz Hoffmann, you have four men that are talking, and it requires that the head of the Israeli top intelligence go to Bonn, Germany with Ernest Kaiser, and then at that point, Kaiser gets the idea that he can bring in Mengele. Kaiser is meeting with Rafael Itan, they called Rafi the Stinker. He's Israeli's counterintelligence team, and he's also part of the assassination teams, always the assassinations, the kidnapping, and the terrorism. And Rafael Itan has his own counterintelligence agency group, and he's discussing the Mengele case with Kaiser. And simultaneously, in November of 85, Jonathan Pollard is arrested, and it turns out that he's been working continuously with this particular Rafael Itan in the United States and in Europe, and he's been to Pakistan and Monte Carlo. Now, February 45 is when Ralph Blumenthal called me. Don Fried was in touch with me via the Wiesenthal people, wanted to know what I knew about the drug connections of Mengele. That's when I mentioned Mr. Steinecker putting the money of Klaus Barbie's narcotics into Mengele's account in Zurich. Blumenthal called me several times. He said, he came home from Germany, was working with the New York Times, still is, said, you're on the right track. He went back to Bonn. And after the conference with Rafael Itan and Ernest Kaiser and the top people in Bonn, the official story was Mengele is over dead. After that time, Blumenthal never contacted me, never referred to my work, and refused to carry the story except the party line that the case is over. We won't go into it anymore. And then Manfred Roeder, the attorney, was chosen in February 85 to be the recipient of a letter that said Uncle drowned. And that's what set off the scurry down to San Paulo. And Mr. Curley, who has the x-rays of the head, was called into the case. He'd been studying it since February. In February, he knew Uncle had drowned. Evidently, Roeder said Uncle had drowned. And then they ran down to Brazil and brought the Bossert's and Stammer's into prominence, members of the Odessa team, and came to the conclusion we have to end the Mengele case. Now, my time is up now. I'm going to do more next week on Mr. Pollard, on the connections of our own intelligence to this, our own operations, and to the Israeli intelligence, the assassination teams, the hoax they can't cover up, and the complications that it's bringing as the story evolves. This is Mae Bressel, and I'll do more with you next week on this matter. Thank you again for the articles and the material you're sending me. I want to thank you every week. I'm getting some marvelous material. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye, and I'll see you. I'll be talking with you next week.